This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
It's new music. Where's this new music coming from? It's all funky stuff. But so Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes, sir.
He has been the lightning rod, so to speak, for this football team this year. He was very much a check down guy last year. Everything was short.
Low A dot and all those things.
Would it surprise you to learn that going into this weekend, he is third in the NFL in completions of 40 or more yards?
Interesting. That surprises me.
He has five this year.
Okay. Well, they take shots, and that goes back to last year.
And they didn't hit the shots last year.
No,
this year he's hitting some of the shots.
But they did draw a lot of offensive pass interference deep downfield, too. So there's some hidden yardage last year that carries over to this. I guess that doesn't shock me. I mean, they've had a couple lately right at the beginning of games, which was timely. It surprises me he's that high on the list, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, third's pretty high.
Third's pretty high.
Yeah.
The nugget I came up with, which is similar, is everyone bashes him for his A-dot, his average depth of target. Right. Which is justified, especially going back to last year. But his last 3 weeks, which is half of the season, it's been over seven every week, which is high. And he's now not in the cellar. He's moving up to like 25th-ish.
Right.
Because each week it's gone up, and he's pushing the ball down the field a little bit more, you know, and the numbers are showing it.
According to Pro Football Reference, his percentage of bad throws is 17.7%.
Okay. Do they call them uncatchables or something?
Just bad throws. That's better than Patrick Mahomes, who's at 18.4%.
Okay.
That's better than Aaron Rodgers, who's at 21.1%.
Wow, that's a name I didn't think would hear on there.
That's better than Tom Brady, who's at 18.9%.
Wow.
I mean,
interesting,
I don't know that he's been as, like, everybody was bashing him throughout the offseason, bashed him the first couple weeks of the season. He was not throwing the ball down the field. That's not been the case all season. And some of the quote-unquote bad throws that he's had this year have been because receivers have not been on the same page with him.
There's been some of those,
too. So there's some good and there's some bad. The bad for him, now he hasn't thrown an interception in the last 2 weeks. He's obviously thrown some balls that could have been intercepted.
Right.
That's interception luck. Happens to everybody.
Yeah.
It's no different than if a ball hits off of a receiver's hands and bounces through
it. Right, or he takes a terrible read and throws someone in the numbers. You're right,
Those balance out over the course of the year.
Generally, yeah.
Yeah. The problem that I have is he's fumbled five times.
Yeah.
And he's lost a fumble in each of the last three games.
I'm glad you bring that up because I don't enough, and you often bring it up with quarterbacks as fumblers.
Daniel he had five Jones. All of last season.
Yeah, okay.
So,
and some of those guys, I just said Daniel Jones, Josh Allen, they're always at the top of the list. And they're young, and they're runners.
Yeah.
So I can justify it a little bit more, and the Bills ran a million snaps, so you're going to have more fumbles, you know. The Bens are in the pocket.
His pocket presence has not been what you expect.
Or the protecting of the football.
Now, maybe some of that's because, you know, the line, he's getting hit more. At least he had been until the last couple of games.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But the last couple of games, he got hit once against the Seahawks. I think he got hit three times a week before against Denver. And he still had fumbles in both of those games. Now, the one last week against Seattle was kind of fluky, but
it was.
Still, it's happening.
It is happening. I don't have a great reason for it. I mean, he's a big target that doesn't – he used to be an oak tree where he was so hard to get to the ground or get to the football, and he would just shrug people off, unlike many quarterbacks I can ever remember. And he had good feet to get out of the way, too, where he doesn't have either one of those things to the same degree.
I wonder, too, if the – you know, he had that elbow surgery. Did that affect his grip on the ball a little
bit? That's what I was going to say, because we think too much. The last thing we were talking about how my wife and I are on the same page ever, you and I are. Because I was sitting there thinking, like, okay, that fumble last week might have been fluky, but does it happen 5 years ago?
I've seen him make that play a thousand times.
Does the ball come out 5 years ago? I bet not. You know, big, strong hands, grip strength, all those things. Has to suffer with age and the elbow injury, too.
Yeah.
You know, does he play the same way maybe only one hand on the football where they coach it to be two, but he's gotten away for forever. Yeah. And now that thing pops out one out of 10 times, or two out of 10 times, where last, you know, it would have been one out of 10 times for most of his career.
The problem then becomes once a quarterback gets that,
they've got the rap,
that reputation,
yeah.
Then guys start going at it. Used to be when you went after Roethlisberger.
Just get him on the ground.
Just get him on the ground. Whatever you got to do to get him on the ground.
That was hard enough.
Now you may be coming in and saying, hey, we're going to strip the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give the ball up in the pocket.
And the Steelers and Watt are the best examples of this going. That's become a huge coaching point more than ever in the league. But I bet once you get the rep, I mean, just like a running back, the fumbles, takes you like 3 years to get rid of it.
Yeah, without a doubt. So he's not going to have 3 years.
No, right. I mean, he just needs to protect it better.
Yeah, but I think I'm seeing him play better.
I think so too.
You know, I think that you're starting to see some of the things click. I know you look at Deontay Johnson's been, he's catching 68% of the passes thrown his way. That's above average.
His drops have obviously.
He didn't have a drop.
No, right.
They've dropped 14 passes this year and he's dropped none.
Okay. There was one play that some people might reference that was an underthrown ball that maybe he could have caught.
Yeah, that's not a drop.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not the drop expert, but I wouldn't have called that a drop.
He didn't catch the one on the end zone last week on it was an offsides penalty, but it was an offside penalty.
So it didn't count.
It doesn't count. Right. Yeah.
No, but I mean, by all accounts, he's been working with the tennis balls and
he works like crazy at it.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I always even said last year, his drops, well, there's two factors. Well, one of them's an overriding factor of the team. It's harder to catch the ball close to the line of scrimmage than it is downfield.
Yeah.
He's getting more downfield this year. So Steeler drops in general last year were often near the line of scrimmage when a linebacker's going to hit you in the teeth and the ball comes out at a weird angle and it's just more.
It's a quick pass and you're trying to catch the ball.
Get your head around.
Yeah.
And it comes out hot and
you got a corner bearing down on you. You're trying to make that move before
you
get
it. It's just crowded. And the other thing, too, with Johnson, and you probably have the I don't know if you have the stats, but you have I remember you saying it at the time. It was like a three-game stretch that all of it happened.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a recurring thing through his college life, his early Steeler life. He had a bad month. I don't know, did he have a bad thumb that we didn't know about?
It gets in your head a little bit.
Gets in your head you without
get the
question.
Yeah. You
know, so, I mean, he had a bad month. I mean, is he going to be the best hands catcher in the world? Probably not, but it never worried me with him.
Yeah.
Ebron's a drop guy.
Ebron's a drop. That's who he is.
Yeah.
Actually, Najee Harris leads them in drops with 4.
Does he?
Yeah.
They were all probably at the end of that one game.
And that's one where, you know, he's a young guy trying to catch the ball and go too quick.
He doesn't worry me with drops.
No.
I mean, big picture at all. I mean, I think it's going to be a strength of his.
Yeah.
I think he'll make catches he shouldn't.
Let's take a look at this week's games. 1:00 on Sunday, Chiefs at Titans. This is a big one in the AFC.
It's a real big one in the AFC. You know, I think the Titans have a shot.
Against that Kansas City defense, absolutely. Yeah. The way that
I mean, Henry,
Henry's going
right. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about this in the fantasy segment, but I think I want a lot of fantasy action in this one too. Tannehill's playing better.
My thing with Tannehill is he makes one throw well, and that's that play action. Throw it over the middle to A.J. Brown.
Hit him in stride
for 20 yards down the field. You hit him in stride, and he makes something happen. Outside of that, he's playing like garbage.
He has not had a good year. He absolutely has. I mean, Henry really should probably be the MVP of the league.
Yeah.
I mean, all the quarterbacks are great. But
they're not even 2-4 at this point without Derrick Henry.
No. I mean, with an average back.
Yeah.
Johnson last night or whatever. I mean, I'm not sure they win any. Their defense has actually improved a little, though. They rush the passer well. Simmons.
Looks like Bud's starting to round into some.
Their other edge guy, the kid from Boston College, I kind of like, is playing well, too. He's been there for a while. So their defense doesn't totally stink. Did you see Farley's season's over, too?
Yeah.
Like, man, they draft injury. They draft high-risk dudes in the first round. I think they'll hang with the Chiefs, though.
I think it'll be close. I don't know that they'll win.
I won't pick them to win, but I'll take the points.
But the over-under in that game is 57.5.
Yeah.
Giddy up.
Right, exactly.
For a team that wants to run the ball.
I'm curious what A.J. Brown's price is in DFS.
Still dealing with that stomach issue, apparently.
I know. How long is that? You never hear athletes that deal with that for more than a day or two.
Is he eating a bunch of Chipotle?
What's going on there?
Big game in the AFC North.
Yeah.
Bengals 4-2 at Ravens 5-1. Baltimore's favored by 6.5. The over-under is 46.5.
I think this is more about the Bengals than the Ravens. That are they ready to win or even battle them till the end in Baltimore, keep this thing within a field goal or so? Cincy's D to me is real.
Here's the thing with Cincinnati.
Great, but okay.
They've got big playability, obviously.
Chase.
They're 21st in, like 21st in offense.
Yeah, they don't run many snaps either.
Yeah.
It's a big problem with them, too.
You know,
their O-line's not a disaster.
The sum of the parts doesn't equal the
end
product.
No, I think they're still building that. And I'm a big Burrow believer, but he's had some turnovers, too. We saw the Ravens really give Herbert, same age quarterback, a lot of fits, and they throw a lot at you. I think the Ravens are going to win that one, and I would lay the points. I think it's like 6 or 7.
So, yeah, 6.5. I think this could be a kind of a T. Higgins re-breakout game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I think they'll put Humphrey on.
I do, too, on Jamar Chase.
On Jamar Chase.
I think they'll follow him around.
And that's going to leave, you know,
Higgins against lesser dudes.
Not Marlon Humphrey.
Exactly. No, I think you're right about that one. I don't disagree at all. I think Mixon could do well. I think Lamar and their weapons will give him problems when it's all said and done.
People are complaining about Devin Bush. Patrick Queen's gotten benched, too.
Oh, yeah. He's been a disappointment. Yeah. And Baltimore's – well, actually, both teams. One thing about Coach Taylor, his teams have been good on special teams.
Yeah.
I mean, Baltimore's always are. But I don't know that it's going to come down to a kick or, you know, a super
Wouldn't
close
think,
one.
Yeah. Washington, 2-4 at the Packers, 5-1. Green Bay's favored by 7.5. The over-under is 48.5.
Green Bay's a lot
I don't
better.
Know how Washington keeps that close.
I know. I tend to agree. I mean, Washington's fighting injuries.
They're in a
Samuel
bad spot.
And Gibson and McLaurin, none of those guys are 100%. Heineke's just a dude. At best,
he's been overexposed. Yeah.
You're right. They blow coverages. I mean, if you misstep once against Rodgers, let alone blow a coverage, he's going to slice you up. I just think Green Bay's a lot better. And they're starting to get a little healthier, too. Like Bakhtiari's coming back, and, you know. Green Bay might be ready to turn a corner, too.
Green Bay 16-2 at home in a regular season's under Matt LaFleur.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, we'll see how that changes when he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers anymore. But
well, sure. But it's a good combination.
Would you rather start Antonio Gibson or A.J. Dillon in that game?
Obviously, Jones is way over both.
Yeah.
They're like the same.
So I'm saying, like.
Right.
You know. How many carries is Gibson? Like, Gibson got 10 carries last week against Kansas City. Game got away from him. They pulled him out. Okay, you're done.
I can't quit him. I'm going to say Gibson. And you referenced this earlier in the week. Washington's run blocking is, by some metric, ESPN or one of them, was number one in the league. If they don't get out to – if they're not too far down the lineup, I think it's got to be a lot of Gibson early in the game.
Have to. Yeah.
You know, but can he with you know can he handle that? I don't know.
Panthers 3-3 at Giants 1-5. That's Carolina favored by 3. The over under just 43.5.
I love Carolina in this game.
I kind of like the over in that game.
Sneaky, yeah.
I think both offenses will make some stuff happen.
I do too.
I mean, they're not going to shut the Giants out.
No.
The Giants will score. They'll put a couple touchdowns on the board.
Shepherd will catch 10 balls.
Yeah, they'll put 17 on the board.
Yeah. No, but I think that defense will get after Jones, cause some problems. Darnold's not great, but he's better than what he showed, and they had a lot of drops. I think they win the game by a touchdown or so.
He's used to playing in that stadium, too.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
You know the wind currents and
right.
stuff.
Chuba Hubbard's another guy to talk about next segment, too.
Yeah.
He's getting a huge workload when McCaffrey's out. And I don't know if he's going to be super expensive for DFS.
We will see that in the next segment
for sure.
Jets 1-4 at Patriots 2-4. This was one of the Patriots' wins this year.
Mm-hmm.
Their wins have been over the Jets and Texans.
Yeah.
Yuck.
And I think Wilson had like 4 picks in that game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that was going to talk
New England's
about.
Favored by 7. The over-under is 43.
Belichick versus rookie quarterbacks in both those games and all that. Jets are coming off a bye, though. And I think they stick around. I think the post-bye Jets won't be abysmal. I'm not saying it'll be great.
The Jets have been outscored 30-0 in the first quarter this season.
Yeah.
They've been outscored 75-13 in the first half of their games this year.
Adds up.
75-13.
Yeah.
They've only played five games.
See, I think those kind of things with a rookie quarterback and new coach probably get a little better.
Well, it can't be much worse.
It can't get worse.
Yeah.
So, coming off a bye, I don't know the Patriots should be favored by 7 or 7.5 or whatever.
Against anybody.
Against anybody.
No, they beat them by that. Here's the thing about division games.
Right.
If one team blows the other one out the first time,
doesn't usually happen.
It doesn't happen again the second time.
They just have no explosive players.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the Jets keep it close.
Falcons 2-3 at Dolphins 1-5. Atlanta favored by 2.5.
I think this is a sneaky fantasy game.
The over-under is 47.5.
I'm really curious, too. If all these Watson Tua rumors are true, I don't know if you start Tua this week if you're the Dolphins. Does Brissett start this game? I mean, if it comes out in the next 48 hours, the trade's happening. You don't want to, if Tua gets hurt, it ruins everything.
Kills the trade.
Kills
the
trade.
Yeah.
He didn't practice on Wednesday, and I didn't see him have any injuries on Sunday. But I think this is kind of a sneaky over game. You know, Matt Ryan could probably use that week off. He's coming. You know, has a week to recover. Ridley's back. Gage is healthy. Pitts is starting to find himself. I think there could be points in this game.
Yeah, this Miami's the fifth team to not have a bye following a London game.
That can't be good.
Well, the previous four were 2-2.
Oh, okay.
So not as bad as you would think.
Yeah,
both
yeah.
straight up and against the spread.
And Miami's got some weapons. I mean, yeah. Waddle and Gesicki, and
if they have time to throw it, and Atlanta doesn't really rush the passer.
Their defense is so bad.
Yeah,
I don't know if they can take advantage of that O-line.
Lions 0-6 at Rams 5-1.
There's like three monster spreads this week.
15.5 on that one. 50.5 is the over under. This is
Goff or Stafford Bowl. Yeah. We're gonna talk. I'm sure we'll bring up Arizona, Houston. I think Detroit has a better chance to keep this one close than Houston does.
Boy, I don't know.
I guess because they have Swift and Hawk, and at least they have a couple guys on offense.
I think Stafford's going to throw four touchdown passes in this game.
I think they'll win big.
Yeah.
I'll take the points, though, in that one.
I think it really helps, too.
So many points.
It's a lot of points. I think it helps that the game is in L.A. and not Stafford going back to Detroit.
Yeah.
He's going to be much more at ease with – the question is, do the Rams fans care enough about Jared Goff to go out there and boo him?
I don't know if they
probably
care
not.
That much. It doesn't mean that much to him. Right. I think they're happy with their guy.
They're going
to
have some wine and,
Yeah, I don't know. I could see Swift scoring a late touchdown to bring it within 15.5 or whatever the heck the number is, whatever giant number that is.
Eagles.
The Lions' defense is horrible,
it's
though.
It's bad. It's really bad. Eagles 2-4, Raiders 4-2. Vegas favored only by 3. The over-under is 49. That's kind of a weird
I don't think that number's big enough. My concern with the Raiders is, boy, everyone spiked and got all their energy into Gruden's gone, ding-dong, the witch is dead, and then you realize we don't really have a good head coach, and you fall back to reality and get out-coached and things. But I don't like where the Eagles are at all.
They've had 10 days off to prepare for this one.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Both these defenses, though, are like the most zone-heavy, conservative ones out there. And I think Carr will gladly nickel and dime you with Waller and move the ball down the field where Hurts, they're searching, and they don't even hand the ball off to running backs. I like the Raiders big in this one. Yeah. I don't understand the line.
Jalen Hurts, I lost to a team in fantasy last week with Jalen Hurts at quarterback. Because he somehow put up 30 points with 112 yards passing.
He does every week. It's remarkable. I thought Fields and Lance would be that guy, too, and they aren't.
There's got to be some kind of
right.
fantasy football, and this is off the – but there's got to be some kind of adjustment made.
That you're not good at this position. You shouldn't score a ton of fantasy points.
Whether you bump up the passing yard totals.
Yeah, or the passing touchdowns. Or
something.
Whatever.
Because that's
completions.
Just – yeah. These running quarterbacks that go out and throw for 100 yards.
They're kind of screwing things up.
And score as many points as the guy who throws for 400.
Yeah.
They're not the same.
I mean, everyone knows what a PPR league is. Maybe there should be a points per completion league.
Something.
Or half a point per completion. Because the guys that can't complete passes shouldn't score a ton of fantasy
points. Yeah, they're
points.
Not good. He's not a good player. He can get benched at any point.
Oh, I'm not sure Minshew doesn't
he could be
get a
the,
shot.
He could be the number 5 fantasy quarterback in week 10, by week 10.
And he's like the 20th one in the league.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he's not good.
No, he's not good.
Yeah. Bears, 3-3 at Buccaneers, 5-1. Tampa Bay favored by 12.5. The over-under, 47.
Well,
Tampa Bay's missing a lot in this game.
I'm saying there's no AB, there's no Gronk, there's no Sherman, there's no David. I mean, all that came out today. I mean, I think the Bears D's good. One little nugget I heard, I'm stealing from somebody, and I kind of knew this, but I didn't put two and two together. The blitz has really given Fields problems.
Yeah. Tampa blitzes more than anybody.
And they blitz more than anyone in the league. Even go back to Ohio State, he didn't handle blitz particularly well. So that's not wonderful. But I think Khalil Mack in that defense keeps it close.
They don't have Robert Quinn this week.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But it's a good D.
It is a good D.
I mean, I'll take the points and keep it close.
They did beat them last year, which leads me to believe that's not going to happen again.
Right.
That was a game Brady was, you know, thought he had fourth down. Or thought he was in third down. He was fourth.
I don't know if you agree with me, but I mean, I think the Bucs, the Rams, and the Cardinals, they're all in the same tier at least.
Yeah.
Where the Bears are much better than Houston and Detroit.
They're better.
They're better. I mean, they're not a great team, but they're better. I mean, they're 3-3 and they have a defense. They can run the ball.
Unders are 5-1 in Bears games this season.
I can see that. I mean, they run the ball well and they shorten the game.
Tough defense to run the ball well against Tampa Bay, though.
It is. It's not a good matchup.
I wonder if Fields runs a little bit more himself this week.
I don't know why he doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
They get to generate some kind of running game. I think maybe they have more design stuff for him this week.
They should. It's just been a long time coming.
The other huge, huge spread this week. Texans 1-5 at Cardinals 6-0. 17.5, and the over-under is only 47.5.
That's hard to make happen. I mean, Houston's to that point offensively, though.
Like, they're averaging 15 points a game.
And it's going down.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they'll get
Davis
the 15
Mills
in this one.
Not ready to play. I don't know if he'll ever be ready to play in the NFL.
How about this betting nugget? So, if you want to bet the Cardinals' money line, you know, you put down $1, you win 6 cents. That's the payoff on $1. $6 on 100 or 6 cents on $1 to win this game.
Like, well, you know, $6 is, you know.
That's, yeah, I mean,
$60 on 1,000.
Right. I mean, that's how much Vegas thinks that Houston has no chance to win.
The two picks for the writers, I'm going through NFL
Houston
Nation.
Houston picked the Texans.
No. The Texans writer picks 35-3.
I don't know if they get to 10.
The Cardinals writer picks 41-17.
I think I'd laid the number.
Yeah.
Was it 17.5?
17.5. That's as big as you'll see in the NFL. Colts, the Sunday night game. Colts, 2-4 at 49ers, 2-3. This might be one I can just turn. Well, I got Jonathan Taylor, so I'll probably watch it.
I think he's going to have a big game.
Yeah.
I mentioned my co-host is a big Niner guy. Jimmy's not 100%, and Lance is not going to play at all. Like,
they're not going to use him in packages?
Sudfeld game. What's that?
They're not going to use him in packages?
He's not healthy enough.
He's not healthy.
He thinks he'll be inactive in this game.
Wow.
So there's a chance.
They're favored
Sudfeld
by 4,
scores.
And the over-under is 44.
Yeah. I think the Colts keep it close and maybe even win it. That Colts aren't great.
DeForest Buckner may have a...
Buckner's coming back in a big way.
Hey, you guys traded me.
Right,
what are you doing?
Right. And I think he causes problems. I think the Colts keep it close. I mean, you probably don't disagree with me with your Jimmy love, but I think Wentz is a much better quarterback than Jimmy right now. Is playing much better. Yeah. Quentin Nelson's coming back. You know, I think they'll keep it close. I'll gladly take 4 points.
49ers coach Kyle Shanahan is 8-19-2 as a favorite against the spread. 8-19-2 against the spread as a favorite.
Yeah. People think they're better than they are. They're
San
not
Francisco
great.
Is 2-7 outright in its last 9 games as a favorite of at least 3 points or more.
I think this sets up.
I thought only Mike Tomlin lost games he was supposed to win. Nobody else ever does.
Now the Colts are starting to turn a corner a little bit. Their corners aren't great, but I don't know if that matters against that passing game.
This one's a sneaky. I don't know what to think of this one. I think I know who's going to win, but the spread's interesting. Saints 3-2. This is a Monday night game.
Yeah.
3-2. It's Seahawks 2-4. The Saints favored by 4.5.
Tough place to play.
The over-under is only 42.5, which is really low. That might be the lowest one of the week.
It's actually my favorite bet of the week. It is on the Saints. I think Seattle's bad without Wilson.
Well, I think so, too, but that's a tough place to play.
Oh, it is.
They'll run the football. I don't care who the running back is. They will continue to run the football.
Without doubt. I just think you give Sean Payton 2 weeks to prepare for that one, and some of their guys get a little healthier. Winston, say what you want about him, he's a lot better than Geno. I think the Saints D is the best unit out there and probably better than the Steelers D right now. Probably keeps Seattle to under 20 points. I mean, it's a decent number for a road team on a Monday night, but I think the Saints handle that game.
That's why they play him.
That's why they play him.
Yeah. I never just
Saints are hard to get wrap your head around, though.
Yeah. I can't. I don't know what they are.
Yeah. It's a long road trip.
And I just know that trip is not fun, even if you're, I mean.
No, it's a horrible place to play.
Yeah.
Monday night, everyone will be lubed up. I mean, no doubt.
Yeah.
I just think they can handle it. I have to bet on Sean Payton on that one for me. 2 weeks
You're also prep. Betting on Jameis.
I know. He can't throw three picks, or I'm going to look silly on Tuesday.
Oh, he can throw three picks.
That's what I mean. That's the thing that worries me. That's
he very
how they
well
lose
can.
That game. Yeah, that's yeah. how they lose that game. Bad Jameis shows up, but I don't think Seattle's D.
I just wonder, too, is you know, do they – when is Sean Payton going to get over this Taysom Hill fascination?
Sure should.
I mean, it's just – it's played out. It's right. It's
And the thing
stupid.
Is, he's making like $10 million a year or something. Like, he's making real money, like yeah. more than most backup
All apologies to Chris Hoke. I know Chris Hoke's a Taysom Hill guy. And
oh, is he?
He listens a lot. Chris, he's not an NFL quarterback.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, he has a value.
He's a football player.
Right. I mean, I love him as a personal protector. And even if you want to put a package in there with him getting snaps, great. But I can't pay him more than $3 or $4 million a year.
Yeah, not for that role.
No, right.
Not for that role. But good for him. He got it.
No, good for him.
He won't get it
apparently
again.
People love him, too.
I mean, yeah.
I'm sure he's a wonderful human being.
I'm positive
sure,
that he is.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
But that is going to do it for the segment. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time for the Fantasy Football Focus. We got to put together a DFS lineup. We have no pick to make this week.
We do not.
Maybe we'll pick the score of the Bengals
Birdies
Ravens
game.
I don't know. Whatever we'll figure something out. We'll do that right after this. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio.